This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Chuang and Noel. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Azrul Mohammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center, for his look at the unprecedented nationwide movement control declared last night. In the meantime, we have a poll on Twitter. Is this movement control order necessary? And tell us why. Right now, we've got about 191 votes with 69% saying that, yes, this is necessary. 25% saying, yes, but it is necessary, but more needs to be done. Now, we're taking a look at some of the announcements made last night at following Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's 10 p.m. press conference announcing these movement controls. The Prime Minister cited the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act of 1988, as well as the Police Act of 1967.
So general prohibition of mass movements and gatherings, including religious, sports, social and cultural activities, so basically all events cancelled, all places of worship and business premises will be closed unless, if you're in a business of providing essential services, and this will include things like banking, for example, and also, some like supermarkets and also some grocery stores. The thing is also Malaysians returning from abroad will have to do self-quarantining for 14 days. And there's this question about, Malaysians not being allowed to travel out, but that's the question of how, if you're traveling to Singapore to study or to work, how would that go?
So, of course, all tourists, entries and foreign visitors will be restricted as well if they want to come to Malaysia. Interestingly as well, all education centres will close, from kindergartens to public and private universities, skills training institutes nationwide. And as you say, all government and private premises, Noel, will be closed except for those involved in essential services, banking, obviously, utilities, media, broadcast included.
Emergency services as well. And there is a specific list out there. And I think right now it is a school holiday, so they will be continuing that as the education centres close. Now, the Prime Minister reiterated that the country could not wait to allow the situation to deteriorate. I think this echoes sentiments from Dr. Zul, our former health minister, who said that intensive social distancing needed to be done in order to flatten the curve. This is about the virus spread curve. And at last count, I think we had about 553 people infected in Malaysia. So we really want to tamp down. We don't want to end up being Italy or Spain in that situation. All that said, the Prime Minister has urged Malaysians not to panic and has cited other examples where, like China, for example, where it has been effective. But the note is China was under a full lockdown. This is not that same situation.
So, I think with a full lockdown means that you really have to stay at home and you cannot travel to another city, right? So in Malaysia, you still can move around, except I'm not sure whether traveling to East Malaysia, how that would work out. But supporting all that is also the stimulus package, right? If, for example, if you are put on a no-pay leave as a result of the outbreak, you get 600 ringgit, but there's probably like a salary requirement there. Some electricity charge discounts, temporary changes to the Bantuan Sara Hidup Cash aid. I think you're going to get that earlier. And some support for the rural areas. I think some rural infrastructure projects will still proceed.
So eligible employees are those who have been given no pay notice since the 1st of March, and also those under the EIS, the Employment Insurance Scheme, who earn less than 4,000 ringgit a month. This stimulus is expected to cost the government around 120 million ringgit, and about 33,000 workers expected to benefit. And this 2% discounted electricity charges as well will be introduced from April 1st to September 30th, and that's no joke. Under the previous stimulus package, there was a 15% discount in electricity charges, but only for sectors most affected by the COVID-19 outbreak.
Yes, and this is an expansion to the budget. So we are seeing a 2.6 billion ringgit expansion in government expenditure, not counting the electricity charge discounts, in addition to the original 20 billion ringgit package. So that makes it about, if my math is correct here, 22.6 billion ringgit in stimulus for the economy. But the question is, will this be enough to really resuscitate the economy and instill confidence? Now, that's one question. The other question on all our minds is, how does this affect the workforce, the employees? Because as we were talking with Joe earlier, if people are staying home in a partial lockdown or in a movement restricted situation, what does that mean for incomes and salaries, especially for those in the gig economy? And to help us understand maybe the impact here on employees and businesses, we speak to Jay Solomon, Secretary General of the Malaysian Trades Union Congress, otherwise known as the MTUC. Solomon, thanks for joining us on the line today. What are your first impressions of the movement control order announced by our Prime Minister yesterday night?
Thank you. Good morning. Of course, prior to the announcement of the Prime Minister, we were concerned whether the stimulus package would be really helpful or it will reach the targeted group. And we also are affected that we're concerned whether there will be a lockdown. And I must appreciate and welcome the government move in implementing the movement control order, because I think it is a very courageous move, I would say, and also a wise move by the government. It will help to contain the virus. Of course, there is a lot more that must be done to address the matter, such as quick response, adequate medical treatment, and protecting those in the front line, especially those who are facing the patients. And because we see about almost 90,000 nurses in the public sector and more in the private sectors, and also those who are involved in the essential services. And of course, there will be some reaction to this too, because now the government has closed down all the childcare centers, the kindergarten and all that. So those nurses, those who are working, I think they must find other alternatives to ensure that their children are also protected. But these are in fact very negligible compared to not having taken this important decision to restrict the movement. Because if you're not taking this measure, the impact would be disastrous and irreversible, as COVID-19 snatches lives and also erodes the economy far more than what we can imagine. But what we find is that after the announcement yesterday, we find that as much as we welcome the movement control order made by the government, we find that there is still an inadequate measure for workers. As much as we welcome the 600 ringgit payment for those who are actually not without pay when they are told to stay at home, I think that is something that the government must address it quickly. The government must ensure that the employer who's coming out with this order that, unpaid leave, I think they must actually verify and see whether that particular company has taken all other austerity measures by reducing unnecessary expenses before they actually implement unpaid leave. I think that should be the priority concern of the employer. Otherwise, we will see many employers using this as an excuse to direct employees to stay back at home without pay.
Yeah, so what kind of measures do you want to see then? Would you like the government to help out here?
Yeah, as far as employers directing the employees to stay back at home without pay, I think that should be stopped. That is a wrong concept. I think before such things are taken place, the employer and the government or even the workers' representative we must explore other ways. They should not come out or be trigger happy in introducing loss of pay and asking them to stay at home. I mean, with this restriction movement and all that, one way is the employees are also going to save costs, unnecessary costs. For instance, the operating expenditures like electricity and water. So there's a lot that they are also going to gain. So they must look at the expenses in totality. And of course, I'm happy that the government is providing some form of rebates for these sectors which are badly affected. But things like 2% on electricity and all that is very negligible for domestic users. And if there is a 50 ringgit charge on electricity, then if they're going to discount for 2%, It's very negligible. So I think there is more that the government should do. For instance, if we look...
So Solomon, what about things like payroll tax deduction? Would that help ease companies' burden so that they keep staff in the payroll but they get a tax deduction from the government?
That would be also helpful. I mean, of course, it will have a good impact for the employers in saving. And I think that there is a lot that the government is doing for the employers and the companies which are affected. And at the same time, I think they must also balance with the workers. And at this point of time, for instance, for those who are going and working during this period, especially those from the essential services, there must be some kind of a subsidy in terms of allowance for this group of employees, because they are going to find alternative arrangements for their loved ones to be looked after during this period.
Okay, Solomon, one more thing as well. What is the possibility of employers making taking advantage of the situation, for example, deploying annual leave to cut down annual leave for employees who are not coming in for the next 2 weeks? And I think more importantly, will the MTUC be compiling a list of what it wants to the government so that they can be adopted by the government and legislated across the country?
At this point of time, as much as we welcome the action committee that has been, the economic action committee that has been established, in respect to workers, I think the Ministry of Human Resource should convene the National Labour Advisory Council immediately and find out what are the difficulties that the employees are facing during this period so that the workers, government and the employees can address this issue collectively. This is a time of everyone playing a role collectively, and it should be well coordinated, and everyone should have a shared responsibility on this. One should not take advantage of this situation and try to shortchange, especially the weaker group, that is the workers. So where there is an unorganized sector, then the employers will take advantage. So to avoid such abuses and exploitation, it is always important that the tripartite body, that is the workers, the employers and the government, meet very often during this period and address those issues.
And thank you very much, Jay Solomon. Sorry about that. We have run out of time for this part. We're going to a few messages. Jay Solomon, Secretary General of the Malaysian Trade Union Congress. And right now, we're going into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, we'll be speaking to Benjamin Cowling, Professor of Infectious Disease Epidemiology at the University of Hong Kong, on containment strategies taken by different countries. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.